Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at ya! Welcome to another edition of another MMA podcast, Amp Radio. And let's face it, guys, this is the episode where we're running on fumes, our Father's Day edition, guys. So happy Father's Day to you and to any of our listeners. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of San Mateo, California. Now let's meet our host, fighting out of the red corner, the Maple Leaf himself. The man who was once turned down twice by Avril Lavigne when he asked her for her number, Proteus.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Follow him at Proados. And the man down south, the new father himself, fighting out of the blue corner, the infamous instigator, Joe from H-Town.
Good morning, fellas.
Gentlemen, we are running on fumes. I'm at about 4 hours sleep. And thanks to Joe and getting the Junkie Nation together, I met up with GG, guys, the lovely Juliet, and Hal from Chicago. So it was pretty fun, guys. We all hung out for about, I guess, 5 to 6 hours there at Dave and Buster's, just chatting with fights. And, you know, I've never been in an environment where these people, you know, are chatting about fights, very knowledgeable. It was kind of fun, guys. It was really a pleasure doing that.
Yeah, you're a lucky guy, man. I saw the picture on the Twitter feed, I think it was. And, yeah, it looked like you guys were having a great night.
Yeah, the only thing I don't do is I don't like taking photos, guys, and that's part of it has to do with the fact that I have a semi, I guess, semi-high profile job in a position, so it's frowned upon if we do anything that's media, social media related. So it's a little bit of a challenge for me. I guess I kind of fell into the peer pressure and took the photos anyway, but yeah, it's a little bit of a challenge for me.
That was cool. Just seeing the one was good enough for me.
Joe's being quiet. Joe!
What's up, Tony? I haven't talked to you in like 3 days. Where you been, man?
Honestly, guys, I'm so stressed out. So I don't know if you guys know what we do for our listeners and friends is we actually put in a lot of work into this. It was remarkable that three guys that didn't know each other could put something together and actually have chemistry. But it's so complicated, guys. It's so difficult. We put so many hours into this, you know, not including the money and everything else that goes along with it. But it's so time consuming that all three of us have full-time jobs and we have families and we have other things, and it becomes tough because I think we're all new to editing and being, you know, having a podcast and doing everything else that gets involved, guys, that it's overwhelming at times. And thank God to you guys and Junkie Nation and the power of, you know, the celebrity of Joe and Proteus that, you know, at one point I was telling Gigi that we had 271 organic listeners on our last episode, which was insane, guys, which was insane.
Yeah,
so, you know, as Clearwater said, all 10 of our fans, well, 10 times 27, right, guys? I mean, you know, we did okay.
Yeah, and, well, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in and crashing the site. That was super cool. Unfortunately, that cut off our podcast as well, but we made up for it later in the night. And this, I think this week, we'll just go back to the regular one show a week. It was nice cashing in while Junkie was off so that everybody had something to listen to. But like you said, Tony, it's lots of work, and we all have families. So let's do the one show a week, and we'll move forward from there.
And it's episode number 7. Thank God to Joe, we have guests. E. Spencer Kite of Kimura and the Province. And our junkie favorite, right, Josh.
Man on the streets.
The man on the street, follow him at 44GSP44 and E. Spencer Kite at Spencer Kite, KYTE. And he's at, great, very, I think, blog and podcast, right, Joe? Keyboard Kimura?
Yeah, Keyboard Kimura. He writes for the Province. He's got the blog, Keyboard Kimura. Pretty cool guy, man. I got to, you know, actually met him through Twitter, to be honest. You know, a lot of these guys I meet through Twitter. And then I met Spencer in person in Austin at a fight night. He's got some family in Austin. And he came down again to Houston for 192. So I had beers with him and John Morgan, Danny Austin, also works in Canada. So cool guy, man.
Joe, I finally have a story to tell about meeting someone in GG and Jules and how I finally have a story, guys, because I don't know anyone. Joe knows everyone. I know no one. So I finally have a story to tell, guys. And my voice, by the way, I'm going to sound more like E. Spencer Kite today, guys, because my voice is raspier than ever because I lost my voice last night and all the fun that we had watching UFC 89, guys. And I don't know about what you guys think, and let's get into it right now. And Joe will keep us in line in terms of when our guests are coming around. But, you know, it's I was kind of disappointed on the card, guys. What say you, Joe?
You were disappointed with the card, that you said?
Yeah, I didn't think I guess I was expecting a little bit more for McDonald. Cerrone looked really good, but I was really disappointed from Valley Letourneau. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed, guys.
Well, you know, it's funny. My dad was over here yesterday, and he was asking about the fights, and I just showed him the card, and he only recognized one name from the card. And it's funny, he recognized Elias Theodore because he watched the tough season. He watched the tough season of Canada versus Australia. That's a funny thing that he watched that season. And, you know, it wasn't a lot of star power, you know. The Cowboy Cerrone, the main event was, you know, was supposed to be a war. And it just – there wasn't that many big names. I mean, the Bossy O'Connell, good Lord, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. You know what, guys? There were a few fights that were a bit slow. And the main event was such a technical matchup. It really wasn't what I was expecting. And like I was saying on the Twitter feed last night, there was definitely a lot of hispect going on there between the two fighters in the main event. And it did prove for some slow times in the event. But I gave it about 7.5 to 8. It was okay. Yeah, I was entertained for, like you said, that. Bosse fight was something else.
So what do you give it all together?
I mean, there was entertaining aspects of the card. I mean, like I said, there was no star power, so I really couldn't get up for it. I didn't watch any of the prelims on Fight Pass. I skimmed through the prelims on FS2, and that was the thing that, you know, they had to carry on the main card on FS2, which, you know, that's always confusing for fans. So, you know, the main card was not bad at all. I didn't think it was bad at all. The main event, I expected more fireworks, man, but, you know, obviously both guys are respecting each other enough. They don't want to get knocked out. They don't want to get hurt. There was high stakes on the line. Wonderboy's got a title shot on the line. McDonald has his contract ending with UFC. So there was a lot of stakes at hand.
Hey, guys, I guess we can go into the card. Tell me if you guys are okay with this. I guess we can go into the card with Josh and definitely E. Spencer Kite. Would you guys mind if we talk Fedor real quick and just get into that?
Yeah, go for it.
Joe, are you okay with going into Fedor?
Yeah, real quick, you know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I did not watch the fight, but I followed it on Twitter, and obviously Fedor got rocked in the first round, and a lot of people thought it should have been stopped. And And he came back and hurt Maldonado a bunch of times, and a lot of people scored the fight a draw. And of course, the fight was in Russia. The judges were pretty much working for Fedor, if you really think about it. And they scored it for Fedor, man.
Yeah, I caught some of the it's a post. I found it on YouTube this morning, and I just got about 3 minutes into the fight, and it was honestly, guys, it wasn't that entertaining. Fedor came out with a huge barrage at the beginning and blew his load, and Maldonado started to take over. And I like I said, I watched about the first 3-4 minutes. Some of the camera angles were pretty terrible, and the fight itself I didn't find very entertaining.
You know, a lot of people were talking about the production on the card, and you know, flying spiders and opera singers, and you know, it was pretty. I might just go watch it just for the production. I mean, it was a 6-hour, 7-hour card, and you know, they were advertising Fedor was going to fight, and it just seemed like it took all day for Fedor to actually walk to the ring, and when he did, I was kind of like sleepy, and like I don't even want to follow it on Twitter anymore.
I saw that spider thing that you were talking about posted on Twitter. It was pretty interesting, let me tell you.
Oh, was there somebody in the spider?
Hello? Yes. Yeah, there was.
That's crazy.
It was a crazy event, and they had this spinning camera from the top of the on the top of the cage. It was kind of crazy too.
And a lot of people were talking about the announcer. The announcer was losing his mind, and you know, he front row Brian was making the announcer a celebrity, trying to call him out on Twitter, and he finally you know, I guess created an account and started interacting with people and taking all his props and promoting Fedor, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, you know what? I forgot about the announcer and the talk about him on Twitter. I actually listened to or watched those 3 or 4 minutes without the sound. I normally do that when I watch fights, just not to get any bias from the announcers. So I'll have to go back and listen to him, see how exciting he was. Because now that you mentioned it, I remembered it.
Yeah, and as far as like what's next for Fedor, I mean, it looks like it's pretty clear that he's going to sign with UFC. I mean, he doesn't have any of the strings that were keeping him back all those years. And do you want to see that? I mean, who do you give him in the first fight if he does sign?
With the little bit that I watched, I don't see how he's going to compete in the UFC at all. I mean, if he comes out like that in the UFC, somebody's going to tag him. You know, Fabio Maldonado was in the UFC, but he is no longer in the UFC. Still a quality fighter, but I don't think Fedor will fare very well. I mean, even if they give him a can, I don't really see I don't see it going well.
Tony, what you got, Tony?
Gentlemen, we're blessed to have E. Spencer Kite. Spencer Kite covers the UFC, writes for the keyboard tomorrow, and a good, by the way, fantastic blog on the province. E. Spencer, welcome to Amp Radio.
Thanks for having me, boys. How are things this morning?
A little rough, I'm sure, just like you are.
Yeah, a little tired, little run down, but well worth it.
Did you even sleep? Did you even go to sleep, Spencer?
No, there was no sleep. We got out of the press conference at about 3:30, I think. I got back to my hotel, took a quick shower, off to the airport, did a little work, napped a little bit on the flight, but we're doing all right.
That's crazy. Now, Spencer, I just want to let you know, man, you know, we're actually just three fans, so we're no media right here. We're three fans of MMA Junkie Radio. We started this show just to give an outlet to fans, so just to give us a little background. But, you know, tell us a little bit how you got into this crazy sport of MMA. I mean, I'm not sure if that's what you wanted when you were going to school for this. Tell me about it.
I just kind of dropped my way into this. I was writing about sports in general and doing some UFC predictions for a site that I worked for back in the day. My wife and I were getting ready to go away and and get married, and I took a month off to just kind of decide what I wanted to do, because trying to cover every sport was getting pretty tedious and getting pretty tiring for not a lot of money. So I've always loved MMA and loved the stuff I had started to do, and saw a way in, really, like saw that it was a brand new sport in terms of coverage, and knew there was a shot of me kind of breaking into the business. So just started the original Keyboard Kimura blog on, I believe it was the Blogger platform, about 7 or 8 years ago now, and just been plugging away ever since. Got a chance, was fortunate to meet a bunch of people that took a shot on me and helped me progress my career, and here we are today, sitting in an airport, coming back from covering UFC in Ottawa.
Yeah, no,
Spencer,
for sure. Now,
sorry, go ahead.
No, Spencer, I just wanted to know, like, what was the first fight that you saw, or what was the first card that you saw that drew you to the sport? I mean, can you remember, that card or whatever?
I mean, I know it sounds cliche, but it's the truth. My brother and I went to VHS, if you remember those things, rental store, and picked up UFC 2, not UFC 1, because UFC 1 was out. So we picked up UFC 2 and went home and watched that. And as brothers that are 2 years apart often do, you start mimicking the moves on each other and trying to figure out how you can guillotine choke your older brother and stuff like that. Just hooked right away. I mean, I grew up a pro wrestling fan, so this was just the next evolution. Like, this was, okay, now it's real, and now these guys are actually going to sleep. It's not Roddy Piper's sleeper hold where the guy pretends to go to sleep and then he rolls out of the ring 13 seconds later. This is hoist clamping down on your neck and you go night-night. So
yeah,
it was UFC 2 and straight through from there.
Spencer, I read something that you wrote a few years ago, which was effectively boxing, the interesting dichotomy between boxing and MMA. And you wrote, I think at the time that you wrote this, it may have been when Strikeforce was still around, and you actually spoke about Fedor and quite a few number of interesting items, which we'll touch base later, but you spoke about, and that particular article is very telling to what's going on now. It's very, very topical, even though it was written quite a few number of years ago, but clearly you see that a UFC sale may be pending. I guess by all reports, it is pending. Do you see any major changes going on, Spencer, between what you wrote with Scott Coker, et cetera, and then what may in fact happen with Dana White himself?
You know, I don't think there'll be as many changes as people think with a sale of this magnitude, just because it makes sense to keep guys like Dana in place. Like, you're not going to get rid of Joe Silva and Sean Shelby, they get that introduction for a reason of being the best talent relations duo and matchmaking duo in the business, because that's legitimately true. You don't go through and clean house of a company that, you know, was purchased for $2 million and is apparently going to be sold here in probably no more than a month's time for over $4 billion. So you keep those guys around. I mean, Dana is so integral to the publicity of this sport. He is the guy that, more than anyone else, be it Brock Lesnar coming back, Conor McGregor, the Diaz brothers, Ronda, whoever, everyone seems to know Dana and correlate Dana with the UFC. And so you don't just come in and say, hey, it's been great, and give him a handshake and a see you later, enjoy your retirement watch. Keep him around, sort of the opposite of what Bellator did with Bjorn Rebney and Scott Coker. Obviously a lot more involved in that in terms of Bjorn no longer being part of that management team and going in a very different direction. But I don't think it's going to be as many changes as people think. I think it's going to quote Dana, it's going to be business as usual.
Right. Hey, Dwayne, Proteus here with you. I was listening to your 199 postmortem with Dwayne Finley, and you guys brought up a topic that is pretty near and dear to my heart. And you were talking about all these freak show fights that we started to see in the sport. And you were also talking about the merits of meritocracy. I wonder if you could go into that conversation that, and touch on that topic for maybe some of our fans that didn't hear the conversation on your podcast.
Well, first and foremost, Dwayne Finley is the man that wants chaos more than anybody in this sport. He is my best friend. He is a hell of a writer, hell of a good dude. And if he could make just the most ridiculous fights that would bring the most chaos to the UFC, he would welcome it. So the fight we were talking about was Dan Henderson, Michael Bisping 2, which looks like it's gathering a little bit of steam. So Finley's probably going to get his wish, but it sort of feels like we're at that point where you're able to do these fights every once in a while where the rankings don't matter, where, you know, I'm doing air quotes here, who earned the fight or who deserved the fight is the next guy in line. Sometimes you've got to just put together these crazy fights that people want to see. And so we were talking about Dan Henderson and Michael Bisping, but, I mean, I think it wasn't quite a freak show fight when Cyborg debuted, but it was a catchweight fight in a division that they don't have where it was clearly just let's get her on the card and whoever wants to be this poor sacrificial lamb that jumps in the octagon with her. Props to Leslie Smith for being tough as nails. But,
indeed.
You know, and so we just sort of talked about that a little bit in terms of there being opportunities now and there being moments now. I think the thing that we sort of really touched on was the important part is not having them be the main event, not having them be the only thing you're talking about, kind of like that show at Houston for Bellator where it was Ken Shamrock and Hoist Gracie in the main, Dada and Kimbo, God rest his soul, in the co-main. And you don't see that kind of promotion for the guys that they had, like Will Brooks, who just got tired of it and said, let me go. So it's one thing to have those as like the third fight on our main card, even the co-main event. I mean, we're going to see CM Punk here at some point this summer jump in the cage.
Oh, no.
So a combined one UFC appearance is going to be in the middle of the main card. But that's okay when the guys that come after them are champions and elite competitors, and they're surrounded by elite competitors. There's room to do it because at the end of the day, this is still entertainment. This is still spectacle as much as it's sport. So that's kind of just what we touched on. And Finley would just, like, honestly, if every champion could lose every time out and just blow up the world, Dwayne would be the happiest man ever. he loves the chaos.
Well, I know Dwayne, and I'm kind of with him. I love the fact that people are just losing these fights that they're 10-1 favorites. I love that stuff. But you know, before I just want to jump into the fights. But before we do, I just want to ask you about the setup last night. You know, it looked like you know, the fighters had to walk across a football field. Was that correct? and the temperature in the building. What the hell was going on with the AC, guys?
The fighters did, in fact, have to walk across the 50-yard line at TD Stadium where the Ottawa Red Blacks play in the CFL. None of that means anything to you guys, but anyone from Canada listening understands what that all means.
I'm Canadian, sir. I'm Canadian.
All right, perfect. So you get it. You get it. You understand. I have no idea. I mean, I guess that's just the setup of the arena. It's surprising to me because I know that a hockey team plays there, so you would think there would at least be shitty hockey dressing rooms that every Canadian has been in at some point in their life that stink worse than anything in the world. But as far as the setup, man, I thought it was cool. Like, it was a great look. It's the right size of venue. I remember when they announced this, talking with some of the UFC PR staff who weren't sure at the time. Because when this event was announced, they didn't announce a venue, and they were trying to decide between where we were last night at the TD Place Arena and the Canadian Tire Center, which is where the Ottawa Senators play. It's probably twice the size, but it's outside of town. And so I kept saying, go to the smaller one. You could do 10, 11,000 and it looks great. And it's fast and you cram everybody in there and a sellout looks really good. Where if you go to the Canadian Tire, you're trying to sell 18,000 tickets. And if you get 12, it doesn't look as big as it is. So I thought the setup of it in terms of layout, sight lines and dynamics of it was really great, but we got in there and realized that they didn't have the AC on, and it started to get a little warm pretty quick. So it was nice to have. We actually had the media room was underneath tents, like you were at your cousin's wedding in the summer. And so we got to go outside. Like, we had our meal outside. They brought the winning fighters from the prelims outside. So every time a Canadian fighter won, I got to, like, have the excuse to get up and go outside and do that victory scrum and get some fresh air and cool down a little bit. But by the end of it, man, it was crazy. I saw John Anik this morning, and I had tweeted him last night, and he laughed as soon as he saw me. He said it wasn't quite, you know, some of those Brazilian shows warm, but it got up there. And of all the places you would have expected a bunch of people to get hotboxed and sweat it out at a UFC event, this is probably the last one. Cause most people think Canada is just this ice wonderland, but it was pretty warm last night. Now, I'm looking forward to getting back to the West Coast where it's rainy and overcast right now.
Hey, Spencer, I wanted to ask you about this. And again, I actually was reading quite a few number of your articles, but the one that really kept coming at me is that one that you wrote quite a few years ago. And it, again, I found it so topical. And one thing I wanted to just – I know the guys want to get into the fights, and I don't blame them, so did I. But I wanted to ask you about this because you wrote, what if Fedor fought for the UFC? And then you wrote that years ago. But what did you see with Fedor? Because I didn't see – you know, maybe I'm still thinking of the old Fedor, but he certainly wasn't impressive to me with going up against Maldonado. What say you on Fedor's last performance?
I mean, I want to sit here and try to sell Fabio Maldonado as being the god, but, you know, it's Fabs. It's the Iron Hillbilly. You kind of knew that was going to be the fight that you got. I mean, I went into it thinking that was going to be the fight that we got. To me, it's the same as – this might sound weird to some people, but to me it's the same as George St. Pierre, who everybody wants to see come back. But you can't go away for 3 years and expect to just come back and be the same dude. One, you're older. Two, you haven't been training live rounds at the same intensity that you were back in those days when you were, in Fedor's case, the greatest heavyweight on the planet. In George's case, the most dominant welterweight champion of all time. You can't just pick that up. I don't care how much you're in the gym teaching classes, and George is not a tri-star all the time, but it's different to then go into a camp for the first time again and go in there and do live rounds with somebody that is trying to knock your block off and use you as a launch pad to something bigger. Like Fabio Maldonado, yeah, he washed out of the UFC, and, you know, he could probably fight at 85 if he wanted to ever cut weight, but he's a tough, durable dude, and we saw that in that fight with Fedor on Friday that, you know, he put it to him in the first round, and if it's anywhere outside of Russia and the official wasn't assigned by the head of the Russian MMA Federation, who happens to be Fedor Emelianenko, it probably gets up. I mean, Kareem Zidane of Bloody Elbow has a piece up today about that, saying, like, how do you expect that dude to go in there and be like, you know what, boss, you've taken enough damage. We're 3 minutes into this thing, and this dude is tuning you up. We're going to call it a day. You're going to go in and tell your boss that the jam's done? Not happening. So you knew he was going to get that leeway in terms of the action in the fight. You knew as soon as it went to the cards. There was no way a judge in Russia was giving Fabio Maldonado a 10-8 to get a draw.
He would have been sent to Siberia, right?
One dude gave it to him, which was good to see, but you knew as soon as that went to the card. We were all watching it on Fight Pass as we were at the weigh-ins, and like as soon as it went to the decision, you just knew they were going to raise Fedor's hand. They were going to pop the confetti like they did. And it was going to be just the most absurd thing in the world. That being said, screw it. Bring him to the UFC. Let's do it.
Wow.
Yeah, why not, right?
And I mean, it goes to sort of that freak show thing of, like, he's still a name. He's still a draw. It's been however many years since he fought last, and we were all so geeked to watch this on Friday as we sat in an arena watching dude get on stage. Like, he's still one of those guys that gets every hardcore psyched up to see him fight. So even if it's a one-off against, you know, finally do the Josh Barnett fight, or see if Big Nog wants to come out of retirement for one last one, or Bigfoot Silva, if he wants to get that revenge, see what Antonio Silva's up to. There's still people that are going to be interested, the same way that we're all jet. Like, I am so pumped to see Brock Lesnar come back, even though for every minute that he's been gone, I still understand that that guy does not like to get punched, and he's fighting a dude that hits like a truck. I still want to see him walk out. I still want to be there in a couple weeks when he's grumpy and surly at all of these media sessions. And I want to hear his WWE music hit when he walks out. And I sure hope to God that Paul Heyman comes out and introduces him properly.
Oh, wow.
And, like, it's going to be a crazy spectacle, and he's probably going to lose in about 90 seconds. Like, the minute, like, if he's crumpled and backed away the minute Kane hit him, and the minute Overeem, who was still Uberim at the time, buried a knee into his midsection, the first time Mark Hunt hits him with one of those cinder blocks, dude's going to be like, I should have stayed in Saskatchewan. Like, it's a good thing he's getting paid. Like, it's a complete spectacle fight. It is the absolute right thing for all parties involved. And I think he could still do that with Fedor. Like, if the UFC ever debuts in Russia, if they go back to Japan at some point in the next 18 months, you can put Fedor on either of those shows in a co-main event slot against anybody, and people are deep.
So, Spencer, I wonder if we can shift gears just a little bit last night's fights. Not only did we have the new weigh-in policies in effect, which I think are amazing, but we also saw something unique in the first women's 125-pound fight. And to be honest with you, Spencer, I thought that both girls looked really good, really healthy. Does this show us that there is a need for a 125 division in the UFC?
I mean, I think I wrote it throughout the week. I tweeted it after seeing them both Thursday at workouts, after seeing them both again Friday on the scale, and both of them having made weight with the early weigh-ins, which are absolutely the right thing to do from here on out. Like, every commission, everywhere, when the UFC runs their own commission, it's the right thing to do. We've seen it now in back-to-back events. The performances across the board have been far superior to what we get when people are holding out and maintaining that weight for 4 or 5 hours to do the dog and pony show in front of everybody. People were still at weigh-ins. It's still a good show, but everybody's in better spirits. Everybody's healthier. The performances are better. I think 25 is definitely something they should do. Chatted quickly with Sean Shelby last night about it, and he just shook his head at me. I understand that there's, you know, roster challenges, and just, it's, as he said, it's a matter of numbers. To do it, you end up with probably three divisions where there are 20 fighters as opposed to two where there are 30, and you kind of need that 30 is almost a benchmark, is almost the sort of low watermark that you need for a division. And while I think they can probably get there and fill out 15 and 35 with fighters that currently aren't on the roster in terms of whoever moved to a new division, I think it's going to take probably a year to figure it out and just kind of check everything out. I mean, I think it should happen tomorrow. I think it would just be smart. I think there's a lot of women on the roster. There's a lot of women in Invicta and around the world that would happily come and join the UFC to fight at that weight. I think it's the ideal weight for the two women we saw last night. I think Jessica Eye, Liz Carmouche, a ton of really good fighters that are already on the UFC roster that we already know will be better versions of themselves in that weight class. Like we saw with JoJo last night. I mean, that's the Joanne Calderwood that we were all excited for when she was announced on season 20 of The Ultimate Fighter. She was doing that at 15 in Invicta.
but this is an even better version because the competition is a little bit stiffer, because, you know, the challenges of it are a little better. I mean, some of it also is that, you know, her personal life is settled, and her training life, which goes hand in hand, or went hand in hand with that when she was at home in Scotland, are settled. She's set up now and comfortable and happy in her routine at TriStar and getting phenomenal coaching from Faraz and the group out there. So this is the Joanne Calderwood I expect us to see going forward, whether it's at 25 or 15. But if it's me and if I have the say, I make that decision tomorrow, and we get another belt to put on the line, which ultimately is one of those things that helps sway those decisions. When you can add another belt, that's another kind of marquee fight you can push out there. And we've seen with the last two, I mean, DJ doesn't get the love that he deserves, but Joanna Jędrzejczyk has become a megastar in the span of a little over a year, year and a half, by being at the front of that division, which, you know, when the Ultimate Fighter 20 came out, if you told people 2 years from now, the champion of this division that is brand new is going to be one of probably the five biggest stars and most popular fighters in the UFC, we'd have all scoffed at you. But Joanna Champion has done that, and I think you could find that at 25 as well.
Now, Spencer, you know, we haven't even talked about the main event, but, you know, what did you think about that fight as far as how the fight went and the stakes on the line? You know, what did you think about the fights, and what do you think's next for both guys? You know, one guy is trying to get a title shot, the next guy is a free agent.
I know a lot of people in the building sort of were booing and a little bit frustrated by some of the lack of action, the fact that it wasn't Steve Bosse and Sean O'Connell part two from Jump Street, which, by the way, I'm sure we'll touch on it, but that was just the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely.
How those dudes are, like, how they stayed upright is beyond me, but we'll get to them. I thought it was a great fight. I thought it was one of those technical, tactical fights where you see the evolution of this sport, where you see that fight to me reiterated how special Stephen Thompson is and how difficult the style he brings to the cages for guys. Because Rory McDonald is an absolute killer. He is one of the most well-rounded, fundamentally sound guys in the sport. And he couldn't figure out that range. He couldn't figure out that timing and get any of that down. And Stephen just does such a good job of making sure everything he throws counts. He doesn't throw huge volume, but he hits you every time, whether it's a low kick, that side kick to the body, those sharp jabs that he's just flicking out there from, you know, his hands around his waist and his karate stance. He's like, I'm honestly, and I didn't think I would get to this point with him, because, you know, he sort of felt like a guy that, all right, he could probably be a middle of the pack welterweight, but the wrestling isn't there. Like, you remember the Matt Brown fight? And even some of those fights after that, he just, you know, he wasn't quite there. He wasn't the well-rounded guy. He was still the karate guy. He is a well-rounded fighter now. The work he has done with Chris Weidman and that crew up in New York, when he goes up there pretty regularly, it's phenomenal, because his takedown defense was outstanding last night. He forces guys to fight his fight. And even in situations where he doesn't mesmerize you like he did with Johnny Hendricks, who had just absolutely no clue how to deal with him, he's able to beat you because he just picks at you and makes everything count like he did last night. And I asked him at the press conference, like, you've been a good soldier. Every time they say, this is something else we want you to do, you say, yes, sir, I'll get to it. But if they come to you and say, you know, the title shot isn't next, is this where you put your foot down? And he said, oh, this is where I put my foot down. Like, and he absolutely should. I said, sure, going into this, like, if they had an extra month before announcing this event, so if that unstoppable press conference was a month later and they could have delayed announcing the main event for this, I don't think we got Rory McDonald and Stephen Thompson. I think Stephen Thompson would have ended up fighting for the welterweight title. But because they needed to announce this event, because they wanted to roll out the main event at that press event, they made this fight. I'm happy to get to see it last night. I'm stoked that Ottawa got a really good fight with a Canadian superstar. But I think it was one of those risky things where Stephen Thompson almost kind of, you know, was 50-50 on getting a title shot, made it count, and there's nothing else this kid needs to do before fighting for the title after this.
Absolutely agree. So let's go into the co-main then, and let's talk about Donald Cerrone's performance, which I thought was fantastic. Not only was he giving up, you know, a bunch of weight, but he took Cote down and finished him. So what were your thoughts on the fight?
This was the best cowboy I've seen
yeah.
In quite some time. And because he fights like every 2 months, I've been fortunate to be at a number of his fights recently, but this was by far the best he's looked. And I mean, he's in such different spirits and such a different headspace fighting at welterweight on fight week than he is at 55, because that cut
yeah.
sucks. Like, he doesn't cut a ton of weight. It's only about probably 20 pounds over the course of what his walking around is. Like, he was 176 all week walking around in Ottawa, which isn't bad to get to 55, but that last 5 pounds, it sucks. Like, it's hard on your body, and it takes some of your energy out, and it makes you a little more chinny, and we've seen that with Cowboy in the past, that he can get tagged and have, you know, a case of the shaky legs. But he looks so good at welterweight now, and he, you know, he's going to go wherever he can fight, whether that's 55 or 70, because I'm sure that bonus check that he got last night is already spent.
No doubt.
It's like, legitimately is. He is probably on a plane now ordering a parachute and a jump kit so he can go and jump out of airplane. Because that's what he told me his next toy was going to be, which is 100% true. I mean, the dude wanted to go bungee jumping this week in Ottawa because there's a 200-foot bungee jump up here that's apparently the highest in this area. So he was like, we're going to go jump on Thursday, which is just typical cowboy. But he looked so much better. And the thing we all talk about, like, oh, he's given up so much weight. He's not that big at welterweight, but he's a tall dude. We kind of forget that Donald Cerrone is 5'11", and he had a reach advantage going in last night. He had a slight height advantage. Pat Cote is a very thick welterweight, a very durable fighter throughout his career, but, you know, speed kills, man, and Cowboy had that edge last night. Was able to just get out of the way of everything Pat was throwing, just see it coming quick enough that it didn't connect, and come in with that left hook counter throughout the night. I mean, the takedowns were beautiful. We sort of laughed on press row, like, this isn't what we expected, but it's 100% the right thing to do. He said at the press conference that it was just instinct. It wasn't game plan. It was just, let's do this. Let's see how this goes.
Wow.
But he's looked so good. And, I mean, to go out there and finish Pat Cote, who doesn't get finished, is a guy that barely ever gets dropped, to drop him 3 times in a fight where a lot of people said, oh, the size is going to be a difference and the power is going to be a difference. Cowboy looks damn good. And if he wants to stick around and just have some of those fun fight going back and forth between divisions, I think that's where he needs to live for the UFC. Not, you know, part of it is that he's got 2 losses to Rafael Dos Anjos. He hasn't had any success in championship fights throughout his career, but you just need guys like that that you can count on as co-main event, as the third fight on a main card, to bolster up maybe a Fox card in Vancouver at the end of August, just saying.
Ooh.
a guy that's guaranteed excitement. A guy like, I mean, you know, there's guys like Joe Lozon, there's guys like Cowboy, there's guys like, you know, that you could just bank on. They're going to show up, they're going to be in shape, on weight, ready to sling leather, always good for a scrap. So it can be the most dull fight card up until that point, and they're going to blow the roof off the place. And that's what he did last night. It was phenomenal. It was a great performance.
Yeah, before we move on, I've got one follow-up on Cowboy. He did mention at the press conference that he was very unhappy with his pay. Can you shed any light on that at all?
So, Cowboy was one of two dudes that was out. We went and did sort of a media thing with the Ottawa Redblacks on Wednesday, just kind of came to the tail end of their practice.
Yeah.
You know, the fighters threw a football around a little bit, him and Misha Sirkunov. Then they showed the football players how to do some stuff,
Misha put one of the quarterbacks through an actual, like, striking lesson and was super technical and very much Coach Misha as he is at home at Extreme Couture. Cowboys' response was, if you want instruction and lessons, go to him. I'll teach you how to throw a kick and knee somebody in the face. We were talking to him then about, somebody asked him, you know, if Diaz falls out, would you jump in and fight Connor? And he said, yeah, but I'd rather jump in and fight Diaz if Connor falls out. And the response was, well, Connor's the money fight. And Cowboy kind of laughed, and I'm pretty sure the quotes are out there, the stories are out there. I know I put one up on Keyboard Kimura and just said, like, listen, I get paid $80,000 no matter who I fight. I don't get pay-per-view points because I didn't go out and do a good enough job of marketing myself and becoming a big enough star. But I get $80,000 whether it's Conor McGregor or Nate Diaz or Khabib or Pat Cote. And so for a guy like Cowboy that is Mr. Reliable and fights, you know, on average four times a year, and as we were just talking about, is always in there putting on spectacular performances, for you to get $80,000 and to see some of these other dudes making $100,000, $150,000, $300,000, you know, guys parachuting into fights 2 weeks out, being able to say, all right, I need $500,000. That's going to rub you the wrong way. And then the other part of it is just, you know, Cowboy blows through his money. I'm not telling tales out of school. I'm not saying anything derogatory. Dude will tell you himself. Like, he said Wednesday, I don't get these dudes that only fight twice a year. What do you do with your money? Because I piss mine away. Like, I don't have any, ever.
Have you seen that boat that he owns?
Legit. He invests his money into the ranch, and he buys toys, and he drinks beer, and, you know, horses cost money to keep, and toys need upkeep, and training partners when you're fighting four times a year cost money. And so when you're that dude that everybody loves, that is probably, what, one of the top 20 most popular dudes in the UFC, and you're making $80,000, that's kind of rough. You see everybody else getting some money. You see the company maybe getting sold for $4 billion. You want a little piece of that. And so I think in these next couple months, we're going to have some very interesting moments. I mean, like you guys said, Rory's going into free agency. We know he wants to maximize his return with a baby girl on the way to be able to provide for her. This is the landscape we're walking into. So it's going to be really interesting to see how some of these conversations play out and what some of these guys get going forward, because when you put $4 billion out there, that's what the owners are getting and that's what this company is worth, you kind of wonder how these guys aren't getting paid more than they are.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. And Spencer, I want to thank you, man, because we're keeping you way over time, and I know you got a long layover wherever you're at, man. But I do have one more question.
Yeah, I'm good, man. I'm comfortable. I got a coffee. I'm on my chair. I still got like 2 hours to kill, 3 hours to kill. So
yeah,
if you guys want to make this a marathon, I'm in.
Well, you know, we don't have time to get into the Maldonado and the Bossy O'Connell fight. I mean, that was pretty ridiculous. But one question I did want to ask is, you know, the crowd was behind Bossy, the crowd was behind Rory, but they weren't behind Cote when he was losing to Cowboy. They were more behind Cowboy. What did you make of that? Did you notice that?
I did. I mean, Cowboy addressed that. I keep talking about Cowboy, but it's because he's the most. He's just one of the best quotes in the business. He addressed it. Somebody asked him, like, are you expecting to get booed? Like, are you prepared for getting booed? And his response was, well, we ain't seen Saturday night yet, have we? And, I mean, Cowboy comes out, and he still gets a bit of a pop. And, yeah, they boo because he's fighting a Canadian dude. But it's hard not to like Donald Cerrone. Like, he honestly is that guy that you want to watch fight. He's easy to like. My dude Chuck Mendenhall has a great piece up on him today on MMA Fighting, just talking about, like, there's not a lot of dudes that say the anyone, anywhere, anytime and legit mean it. Cowboy 100% means it. He doesn't pull any punches. He is 100% authentic all the time. And it's hard not to like that. And then to have him go in there
and put on a performance, even though it's against a Canadian guy, you have to admire that performance and respond in kind. And I think the crowd last night as a whole, save for, you know, those few moments where grappling stalls and things get a little bit sluggish on the fence, they were great and they were appreciative from start to finish. They turned out in droves. They gave Ali Bogatinov and Gian Herrera a great ovation at the end of the first round, which, as I tweeted out, is something you don't see in Las Vegas, even if it's important fights, because people just don't turn out for it, and people don't. It's more of a social event at a lot of these places. But Ottawa was out in force, and it was great to see.
Well, Spencer, you know, we've run out of time, man. I appreciate you coming on, and it's been, I got to say, you know, all three of us have really enjoyed talking to you. You're probably our favorite guest so far. But go ahead and plug your Twitter, man. Plug what where you write, and do your thing, man.
Well, first and foremost, guys, it's my pleasure. Anytime you want to do this, I'm always down to talk fights with fans, with anybody. It's great to do it. Not just breaking stuff down and getting all technical, just enjoying being fans. Because at the end of the day, we all are. Somebody pays me to be here, but I'd be at home watching it like you guys if they weren't. So, anytime you want to do this, I'm in. Appreciate you guys reading. Appreciate everybody checking out the blog. It is Tibor Kimura, theprovince.com/MMA blog. Follow me on Twitter at Spencer Kite, SpencerKyte. KYTE, lots of fight stuff, lots of pictures of my dog. We move into our new house in a month, so there'll be a lot of "this is my new house, this is my new office" under construction shots. So I apologize in advance for that, but it's my pleasure, guys. Anytime you guys want to do this again, just hit me up. You know how to get in touch.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you,
we're going to have
man.
To have you on again.
We'll have you on again for sure, man.
For sure.
Spencer,
right, thanks
a lot.
Guys,
I got to be honest with you. I've become a big fan, and I think you're fantastic. So I could have gone like another 3 hours with you. So thanks a lot, Spencer. I really do appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys. All the best. Happy Father's Day.
Big flight.
Happy Father's Day.
Cheers.
How about that, guys? Man,
wow.
I could have gone another. I'm not joking, guys. I could have talked to this guy for hours. He is smooth.
Yep.
Man, and I'll tell you, I'll tell you what I told him when I was screening him. I said, hey, you're the only guy that has a raspier voice than I do, so we get along great. But I like this guy. This guy, boy, Joe, that was a great booking because he's smooth. He's insightful. Man, great guest. Hey, guys, we have Josh. Can we bring Josh on?
Yeah, bring him on. Let's get the man on the streets on.
The man on the streets who's been, by the way, very, very patient. Josh, welcome to Amp Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I'm a listener, first and foremost, so I enjoyed listening to Spencer there. He's going to give you a little more insight than I'm able to give you about last night's fight.
No,
well,
such
that's
thing,
not true.
Because you actually were taking great photos. We were literally at Dave and Buster's with Gorgeous George, Hal, and the lovely Juliet, and great photos. I mean, we were having fun with and the fact that you were just so close to Chrissy, I'm already jealous. So go ahead, Joe.
Go ahead,
Pro.
Go ahead, Joe. Yeah, okay.
No, go ahead, Pro.
I wanted to thank you very much, first of all, Josh. When I asked you to take some pics, you did it no problem, and you sent them over to me, and I was able to put them on the Twitter feed. And like Tony said, people were enjoying it. So I wanted to first and foremost thank you for that.
Oh, cool. No problem, man. I'm not a big picture guy. Normally when I go to events like that, the phone's in the pocket and whatnot. So saying I'd take a few pictures for you got me to get the phone out of the pocket, and there's only two times where I didn't get the walkouts for two fights, but yeah, I was stepped outside to get a little fresh air. It was a little chilly in there last night.
Yeah, we were talking to Spencer about it as well, and he said that he was, when he said he get stepping outside, you were telling me you were doing that last night. I thought, whoa, I guess everybody was doing the same thing. Like, how hot was it in there?
Yeah,
I don't know, like a number, like a temperature, but I don't think I should be sitting there sweating when I'm watching fights. Like, it felt like I was cutting weight.
For sure.
Imagine actually having to fight.
Yeah, no kidding. It was, and like, yeah, the fighters, and even like Spencer, all the media guys, and Presser in suits, all the suits running around. Like, it was hot in there, man. But yeah, that's a different story.
Now, Josh, I got to go backward a little bit, man. Now, you know, we're three fans, you know, of MMA Junkie Radio, and so are you. When did you start listening, and tell us about your experience in studio not too long ago?
Okay, well, years ago, I started, like, cherry-picking the show when Sean Tompkins was on from time to time before, you know, Sam or Mark had a fight. George and Goza would bring him into the studio. So I caught those shows just from, you know, through the Tompkins media source, you know, just a link here and there. But I would say the 3 years I've been listening, haven't missed a show in 3 years. And yeah, a month ago or so when I was in Vegas, that was the highlight to my trip, man. Vegas is a pretty cool city, but meeting Goz and Gorgeous George, that was the highlight, man. Yeah, I listen to these guys every day. I feel like you know them. And, yeah, they're just as chill, just as cool as they are on the radio in person, man. They went out of their way, give me a little swag bag, and Goz offered to take me to Extreme Couture to watch the pro practice, but that was the day after my sister's wedding, and I got, I indulged a little too much in the Patron that night, so I was slow moving the next day, so I unfortunately didn't get that. But being down there, man, it just gave me the itch. Like, I need to get to this next gathering here. I'm not gonna commit, but I gotta prioritize and make it happen, just so I can meet all you guys in person.
Yeah, and I have to thank you again, Josh. I know I thanked you in person, but thank you for bringing back my Caller of the Month award. Like I said to you, I don't think I would have ever seen that thing. It would have lived in George's room for the rest of its life.
Yeah, that's funny. And no problem. You were Proteus from Ontario for the longest time, and then someone called in and called you out and wanted to know where you were from, and you said Brantford. It's literally 40 minutes down the road, man. We're a stone throw away from each other, so it was pretty cool to meet you.
Yeah, we'll have to get together. But what I wanted to ask you about, since I've never been to some of the big live shows like the UFC are doing now with the fan area and such, what was the feeling of in town like? I know you just got there on the Friday, but what was the feeling in town like?
Well, our hotel was a little ways from the venue, so the town itself, I didn't feel where we were. It wasn't... you know, there wasn't posters or whatever on the light posts or the trash cans or whatever. It wasn't any of that, but down by the venue, they had the whole fan village set up and, you know, the Reebok booth and the Fight Network, and they had a bunch of tents set up and, yeah, just a little tiny, tiny fan expo type thing, so...
Now, Josh, you know, I got to ask you, man, you know, How do we get Proteus out of his house? I mean, I think he could have easily tagged along to go with you to the event. I mean, you guys could have been a carpool, man. How do we get Proteus out of his home now, next time?
I'm not sure. We'll have to crack into that code, but I don't know if you guys caught the post-fight presser, but it was either Mike – I think it was Mike Vaughn. He was talking about someone potentially wanting to fight – I think it was Misha maybe – wanting to fight in Toronto in December. He asked Tom Wright, so – I don't know if that's a little nugget there, but that's only an hour and a half or whatever from us, Proteus, so we've got to make that
for sure.
If that comes to fruition.
Yeah, if they end up coming to Toronto, I'll definitely have to take the train up there and maybe even get it to stay over a night. And for sure, I got to make it and get together with you and some of the other junkies that are living in Toronto for sure. Absolutely.
Now, Josh, now you met another junkie that last night, is that correct?
Yeah, Quasim. I met Quasim. He came up right at the end. We were just chilling out by the bottom of the stairs there, and he came up and introduced himself. snapped a pic, so it's on his phone, so I'll wait for him to post it. But yeah, that's pretty cool, man. I'm excited. Like you, Joe, for instance. Like, I've been talking to you for quite a while on Twitter, and yeah, man, I'm anticipating meeting you.
Appreciate it, man. Tony, you back? Tony, where you at? What you got for us?
Josh, I wanted to ask you this because I'm a big-time cyclist. I'm more of a roadie than anything else, but I started in the mountain bike realm. Are you, you're a cyclist too, huh?
Just part-time. Like, 10 years ago, I bought a decent bike and used to ride anytime I had some extra time. I've got some trails, you know, within half an hour from where I live. So used to ride quite a bit and then got out of it. Now, this year, I just bought a new bike, so just trying to get my money's worth out of it and get out there as often as I can.
Hey, I got to be honest with you. This has been great because, we always have our own Canadian on board, but now having me, Spencer Kite, having you, Josh, now when we say, do you have change for a loony, now everyone knows how to say, oh, sure. Go ahead, Cody.
Yeah, this has been a good old Canadian boy show, which I always enjoy. But let's get to some of the fights, Josh. Since you were there in the building, what was the temperature in the field like when the main event was going on? And for watching it from home, it seemed like a very technical battle. But was there too much respect going on between the two fighters?
Yeah, definitely. I think they were. It was like, you know, the technical chess match, and as for the crowd, you know, it was late. Everyone is drunk. Like, the boos are, it's contagious. Like, you get a couple people booing, and then all of a sudden, everyone, you know, like, you know, it just takes off. So I didn't necessarily agree with the boos, but it wasn't, you know, we just watched the Bosse fight two fights ago. So that was like the peak. And then, the Cote loss took a little more, little steam out of the crowd too. It wasn't a 100% pro Cote crowd, but there's a bunch of Cote fans in there. So,
now Josh, you know, I'm the type of guy that I will go to the fighter hotel to try to meet these guys, and I let you know what they're saying. Please tell me you went to the fighter hotel to shake some of these guys' hands, or I'm gonna be a sad camper.
Oh, Joe, I hate to. I hate to send you on a sad camping trip, my friend. But, yeah, no. Ended up having to walk back to our hotel, which, a few blocks, which, we got back to the hotel at 2:30. I didn't want to make the venture over to the fighter hotel. So I met a bunch of the guys, previous and whatnot, but, I bailed on that part. But I appreciate you hooking me up with the name of the hotel and whatnot, Joe.
Yeah, I'm sad. I'm sad, man.
Well, it was on his...
Hey, Josh. Sorry. Hey, Josh, I wanted to ask you. You were obviously there watching McDonald, possibly his last fight with the UFC, although I honestly think he's going to stay with the UFC. I'd love to see him venture off into Bellator and with a win, that clearly didn't happen. But what do you see with Canada's own McDonald? Is he the same guy, or did Lawler kind of steal away his soul?
I don't know. Like, obviously, that was a hell of a fight with Lawler, but I think a lot of people are making a big deal about the stealing the soul thing. I just think Wonderboy was fucking awesome last night, man. He was fast. He was comfortable in there. I don't know. I don't know if it's as much Lawler stealing the soul as it is Wonderboy had a good night, man. And Rory just couldn't figure it out. Couldn't close the distance. Couldn't get in there. So, yeah, I don't know. That's my take on it. And then with him being a free agent, I don't know. I can't see the UFC letting him go. He's a big draw for at least the Canadian crowd, right? Like, I know he's coming off a couple losses, but he's still a big draw up here. Top five welterweight. Unless Bellator throws him some crazy money and the UFC just says, screw it, I see him sticking with the UFC.
So, Josh, I'd like to switch topics a little bit and look forward ahead to 200, which on paper is looking like a fantastic card. Now, go ahead and tell us, which fight are you looking most forward to on this 200 card coming up?
All of them, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I'm a little excited for the Lesnar thing. Just for the style matchup there. There's a lot of, you know, interesting takes on what people think are going to happen, whether Brock's going to get the takedown and TKO him, or if Hunt just pieces him up. Yeah, I don't know. So that fight's interesting to me, but I'm really looking forward, I guess, to the Frankie Edgar-Jose Aldo fight, just because I've been on this Frankie train with a lot of everyone else for the last year, however long it's been going. So I think this has got to be the last rock. Once he gets through Aldo, like, he's right there. It's McGregor or it's the belt. Like, the UFC needs to make up their mind.
Yeah, now, I'm not sad anymore, Josh. You're a Frankie fan. I'm a Frankie fan, so I'm back. I'm back. But I wanted to ask you, you know, in the arena, they played the Kimbo tribute in the arena. I just wanted to ask you, you know, what was that like being in there in person to see all that? And any thoughts on the great Kimbo slice?
Oh man, that actually might have taken a little bit out of the crowd too, because that was a little emotional, right? Great, nice to see the UFC do that. They probably only did that. They put it together real quick after you called them out earlier in the night, Joe. They were pretty quick putting that together. So I thought they did a great job, and there was like a third, a 50% standing O for it too. So everyone seemed to enjoy it.
Tony.
Oh, sorry, guys. I'm over here reading Josh's. I'm not joking. I'm actually going through your Twitter feed. Josh, you got me. You're going to kill me. Hey, Josh, are you a dad?
I am. Proud dad. I have
Happy
two boys
Father's
at home.
Day, Josh.
Thank you. Tony, do you have any children?
I have an 11-year-old daughter. That's the only thing that God has blessed me with. So that's the only thing I ever have. Hey, Josh, I have a question for you, because it seems like you're a baseball fan too, and you're a Blue Jays fan. Looks like, and you guys have my Josh Donaldson over there. There you go. Bring her a rain, right? Hey, how do you see the Blue Jays doing this year?
I don't know, man. Last year no one was even talking about the Blue Jays up until after the All-Star break and, August. So I think if they could just hang in there and they're not friggin' 15 games below or 15 games back, I think we always got a shot. We got the bats are just, they're all or nothing, it seems. It's either, you know, or three home runs a game or whatever, you know, and or nothing. You're getting shut out. So as long as they can keep the bats going.
But you have
Bautista,
you have Donaldson. That's a good roster.
Yeah, and Encarnacion's hot right now. So, if the lineup's all together and they're playing well, it's a tough lineup. But, I'm an okay sports fan, but once this MMA thing took over, I've drifted away from all the major sports. I'm mostly
for sure
an MMA fan.
And Josh, it's a long season, right? I mean, like, we can have our ups and our downs, and you know, but as long as it all comes together in September, there's not really a problem, though, is there?
No, that's right. As long as it starts with a playoff spot, right?
That's it. So we were talking at the top of the show, and we were trying to give this fight card a value, like from 1 to 10. You know, being there in person and paying money for the tickets and traveling 6 hours to get there. Give us your number or value of this event.
I don't know. I would give it like a 7 or so. Like I think it's fair. I had a decent time. I think I've been a little jaded because my first event ever was 129 in Toronto, so that's and I'm a huge Team Tompkins fan, so the Hamnick fight there, that was like, I don't know, that was the first event I went to, so haven't quite filled those shoes since. But, yeah, I thought it was a good fight. A good card. Some good scraps in there. I enjoyed the lady fight.
Yeah.
Randy Marcos just down the street from us, or just down the road. Got the win. JoJo, great, looked good. The Bosse. Yeah, I don't know. How about that Jocko KO? That crushed all my parlays, but that's all right.
Hey, Josh, I wanted to ask you this. I always do the Mary Shag Kill with all of our junkie legends. So and since we're close to UFC 200, I'm going to get you with this. And this one might be easier than most. Well, maybe harder, depending on what your type is. Mary Shag Kill, Josh. Zingano, Pena, or the love of my life, Misha Tate?
I'll marry Tate, and Pena. Sorry, I feel awful, and that leaves Zingano there.
I'll take Zingano.
That's a tough one because they're all good.
I wish the game was just shake, shake, shake.
Yeah. That's the best.
All right, I'll make it easier
gotten.
For you. I'll add Nunes on there. That should make it easier on who to kill.
That's right. There we go. I don't even need to say that, right?
No need.
Let's keep it on
no
this
need.
Topic. Let's keep it on this topic. I mean, all the ladies that fought on the card last night are all pretty fantastic. Let's start right there. You know.
Oh, absolutely, definitely.
Yeah, Brandon Marcos really fills that suit out pretty well.
Do you guys know do we know why she missed weight? Was there anyone, did that ever
come
up in the seat?
No, I don't think so.
Think so either. And we didn't get a chance to ask Spencer because he was just such a prolific guest. So maybe we'll look into that and get an answer for you on Junkie Nation tomorrow.
Okay, and then another question. With the early weigh-in, did she attempt to lose it, or did she just, it was, that's it?
Good call.
They still have the 2 hours. They still have the 2 hours to lose weight. So if she came in 9 in the morning, she had until 11 to lose weight. So that's probably what happened.
All right, there's the guy that knows. Thanks, Joe.
Joe knows all.
That's why we keep him around.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. It's tough. You're a tough follow. Did you hear that interview, Josh? I mean, Spencer Kite brought it. What did you think about that guy?
I heard the last maybe, I don't know how long he was on. I heard about 11 minutes of it or so. So
yeah.
I thought it was awesome, man. I enjoy listening, man. That's why I don't call into Junkie as often. I you guys are the callers, man. I enjoy listening to all the pros, all the Hall of Famers, and I like to just sit back and relax. So, and actually, when I was in studio, Gold is like, he had to ask me like 13 times to go on for like 5 seconds. I was a little hesitant and a little shy or whatever. So this is out of my comfort zone being on here with you guys.
Well, you're doing well.
Hey, Josh,
don't worry
I
got to
tell
it.
You, I think you did a great job. You definitely have an avid follower with me, maybe a semi-stalker, and I'm jealous of the fact that you actually got the you know, goes in George's attention, because when I was there, I barely got a high. So way to go, Josh. Hey, listen, Josh, you've been a pleasure. I hope to have you on again. You have a fan with me, and you did a great job, man. It's not easy to follow up E. Spencer Kite, and you did a great job. So thanks for being on Amp Radio, and we look forward to having you soon.
Oh, guys, thanks for having me on, and you guys keep kicking ass, and I'll keep listening. So, thanks,
perfect.
Guys. I'll listen to you next week.
Thanks for being our man
thanks
on the streets, brother.
Later, guys.
God bless. Happy Father's Day. Bye.
Same.
Oh, man, I cut him off just a tad. Ooh, no, not good. and I love Josh, so darn.
Yeah,
well, Josh,
good.
My bad. I'm a big fan. So, guys, before we close, because you know us, We don't believe in the hour-long show that we're supposed to have. We're always going long. But can we go into a little, a few of the fights that we didn't speak with about where you go about? How about the Spartan versus Smiling Sam guys? I was expecting a little bit more from Elias, and I thought, Hal and I were kind of saying, boy, he's moving a little different. He was moving a little odd. Did you guys find that, or what did you guys think about that fight?
Yeah, I didn't even watch it, man. I don't have Fight Pass, so I didn't watch it, but I did follow a little bit on Twitter, and it was a bore fest, is from what I was told, and a couple of people that were in attendance told me it was a bore. Don't even bother going back and watching it. So that's all I can say about it.
Yeah, I was watching it at home, and to be honest with you, I got up and got a beer and didn't even bother going back to watching it, because it was like I said, like Joe said, it was a dud, man. It was nobody wanted to engage. It was just not very good.
Hey guys, let's go into a couple more. Did you guys see the Thiago Silva fight?
No, I don't think so. That was early, right?
Well, that was FS2. That was Fox prelims.
Yeah, I didn't watch that too much.
I watched a lot of fights last night, so.
Tell us about your experience, Tony. Tell us about your experience.
You
do more.
I'll tell you what was a little odd for me, because I always have, my wife and I usually watch the fights together, and I've never seen the fights outside of being with my wife. So it was a little unusual being there at with the volume down and just not being able, literally meeting someone at the airport, Hal, and we got along great. Hal's a great guy, made me laugh the entire time. And then, of course, when Gigi and Juliet showed up, you couldn't pick two nicer people. It was really a joy, and I'll tell you, Joe says it all the time, and I'm a fairly newbie here, but the power of Junkie Nation, guys, to befriend people that you've never seen before, they're just good quality people. Everyone keeps talking about, the chemistry that we have as people that have never met, right? Just being able to do it, because it's hard, guys. It's hard to do a show. It's hard to do a half-hour show. It's tough to do an hour show. And we always go an hour 30, guy.
I know, right?
Time. And that's saying something about our guest, Joe, who, he books all our guests. Joe Proteus, who's insightful. And me, I don't have anything to share but my raspy-ass voice, especially today, guys. I told Juliet, normally I sound like a 60-year-old smoker. Now I sound like an 85-year-old smoker with the night I had last night. But it was fun, guys. And somewhere down the line, maybe we do another MMA cast. What's that called, Joey? Joe, the gathering? Maybe we do an AMP radio gathering of some kind. Because it was great, guys. Unfortunately, we didn't get to have Muna show up, but... it was great having the other DJ Zoo, I think, was at a wedding. So we didn't really get a chance to do any of this, but it was great, guys.
I guess it's time we close shop. Hang on, right before you do, Tony, right before you do. I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think that we, as the three of us, could live further away from each other, honestly. And like you said, Tony, it's hard, with three people who aren't close to each other. All we're doing is, talking to each other over a text message or by Twitter. And like I said, we're so far away from each other, guys. It's amazing that the three of us can come together and even have success at doing this, guys. So good on you both, okay? And I know you've all put in good hard work, and let's try and keep this ball rolling.
Well, the closest thing that we're going to have to an on-the-road show is I used to travel a lot, but not anymore. And I've got a new kid now, so I'm not sure how much traveling I could do. But, maybe next time I travel, I can, there's always people, that wherever I go, like New York, there's a bunch of people going to New York, and I thought about going over there. And, maybe I could be on the road and you know, bring some junkies
nice.
On. So that to me, that's the closest thing that we're gonna have to a little mini gathering on the show. But I doubt it though.
I heard it.
You never know, guys. You never know, right? I mean, it's, you know, George was saying, listen, everyone's got to start off somewhere, and we start off pretty well. Hopefully, we'll keep it going, guys. But you never know, guys. We have a following, thank God, to the Junkie Nation, and you never know where this takes us.
Yeah, and I think, Tony, if you know, one day we can't get a guest on, or if we can't get you know, a junkie on, we just open the phones. You know, we've got the ability to open the phones, and people like to call in. I mean, look at show 5 until it got cut off. People were calling in, and people were listening. So it might be something to consider in the future again to do.
I agree. I think the thing that we have the most fun is, besides, man, some of the quality guests that we've had, is are the junkie fans, right, guys? I mean, the junkies they're the best, right? And well, anyway, as you know, guys, we always go long. It's Father's Day. Let's get a chance to spend with our time with our family, guys. We did it again, guys. No sleep. You know, suspect card, in my opinion, in Ottawa. But we did it, guys. This is our Canadian show, guys. The Major League show itself, as the great Celine Dion said, "Oh Canada." Well, here we go, guys. From the man up north, with all his boys today. Thank you, E. Spencer Kite of Keyboard Kimura and the province. Follow him at Spencer Kite, KYTE. And let's not forget Junkie Josh. Follow him at 44, DSP 44. I'm guessing that's his favorite number and his favorite fighter. From the man up north, the man who almost had a date with Avril Lavigne and Alanis Morissette, Proteus. Follow him at Proadosand the man down south. This is a man that not only once befriended Marty Robbins, but he also sang out in the West Texas town of El Paso, "I fell in love with a Mexican girl." The man down south, Joe from H-Town. Follow him at Joe Daddy 85 and me. I'm back to being the DJ. Soon to be with the PJs, because I'm falling asleep already, guys. Not joking.
I hear you.
And gentlemen, hit it. And like that.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.